listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
I'm so appalled. Spalding, ball. Balling and Donald Trump taking dollars from y'all. Baby, you're fire if your girlfriend hot. But if you don't mind, I'ma keep you on call. We above the law. We don't give a fuck about y'all. Got dogs that'll chew a fucking hole through the wall. But since they all love us, I need more rubbers. And if I don't use rubbers, need more covers. Housekeeping, I mean, goddamn, one time, let it be a bad bitch sweeping. That know we get O's like Cheerios. That's no because they seen us in the videos. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
And we are back. That's right. Back like we never left. On a Wednesday, which means we review The Walking Dead, which means it is the season finale, halfway fall finale, I guess,
yeah,
of The Walking Dead, mid-season finale. Correct. Thank you, Karen. First, I guess we can do it all up front. No guests today. Just me and Karen going to try to breeze through this shit. And hopefully we'll be out in time to see Arrow live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, daddy got a life too now. Good news on the premium tip front, though. New review for James Bond Spectre, spoiled movie review with JL Covan. Me and JL Covan recorded that bad boy today. It's actually all ready to go. I just need to upload it to the site, and you guys will be able to listen to that sometime within the next 48 hours. And we're gonna record reviews for Hunger Games Part 2, the mm-hmm. Mockingjay Part 2.
And Creed.
So those are coming up, and I don't know who we're gonna have as guests yet, but, you know, we'll figure something out. Maybe we won't have a guest. We'll figure it out. You know, Jackson 5 favorite episodes are just me and Karen. So there you go. official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 350 that Bobby Smurda has been locked up in jail, but he had his bail hearing and there's a chance he could be released as soon as tomorrow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see, but that sounds pretty promising. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean, I don't want to get my hopes up too much because, you know, there's always some bullshit around the corner.
Right.
With Bobby. But it will be dope if he can get back on these streets, man.
Yeah, we can knock that the number down to zero.
Yeah, the world needs this. And I think people need to stop trying to stop it from happening. Of course, the show is sponsored today. It's actually double sponsored. First of all, the show is brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. You can listen to the new Rod and Karen audio play. It's finally out on iTunes. It also stars guest of the show, Nick Jew, Vanell, John Fouts, Thatcher, and Jenna Simon. Listen to Rod educate on dating crazy, go to a yard sale, and cope with the world ending in Sunspot. 9 hilarious audio plays and all. Check it out on iTunes, Sunspot, and other ratchetness on iTunes, or search iTunes for Rod Morrow or Karen Morrow. Before we get started, this episode is also brought to you by Bevel. Let's get this money right. The episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com today. That's GetBevel.com. And I know people have been reporting in that they use the code, the TBGWT free code, and they got shit is coming to them, and they're going to give it to their fathers and their uncles and, you know, boyfriends, husbands, all that stuff. That's dope, y'all. Keep it up.
Yeah, we thank you.
I don't know if that code's still working or not. Just letting you know. So it was only available for the first 300 people, I believe, and for a limited time. But TBGWT will always get you 20% off. So the first thing I wanted to do, though, is I did want to talk about something in the news. There's been another mass shooting. At least 12 dead in San Bernardino mass shooting. Some people have been saying 14, but at least 12. San Bernardino County Sheriff has confirmed the presence of an active shooter near San Bernardino, California. At least 12 people are dead, with another 20 injured.
Wow.
Yep. The city's fire department says on Twitter they received reports indicating as many as 20 people were shot. A SWAT team appears to be on the scene. The emergency crews are reportedly setting up a triage center near the city's convention center, and other patients appear to be receiving medical treatment on a local golf course. At least 12 people are confirmed dead in Los Angeles. Fox 11 reports cops are currently searching for three white males dressed in military gear. Huh, you don't say. White man. Wonder what religion we'll find out they are. Probably Buddhist. Mm-hmm. And then we'll put them in internment camps, I'm sure. Witnesses say the men had masks on and may have been wearing body armor. They were armed with rifles, came into the office, and started shooting sometime around 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The shooting apparently began at the Inland Regional Center, a nonprofit organization that works with people with developmental disabilities. Well, that's nice. There are reportedly 21 independently operated regional centers scattered throughout the state serving developmentally disabled people. Many of them are underage and their families. An employee at a different center says the San Bernardino office featured open design like the DMV. One man, Terry Pettit, tells NBC he received a message from his daughter, who has since been confirmed safe, asking him to pray for her. People shot in the office waiting for cops. Pray for us. I am locked in the office, the text reportedly read. It is still an active scene, and San Bernardino police have reportedly asked news outlets not to show the building pictured below. So they are showing the building in that case. Until the investigation has concluded, the FBI, ATF, fire department, sheriff's department are all on the scene. Witnesses say firefighters are using pickup trucks to evacuate victims. An NBC cameraman on the scene reports seeing at least 6 injured victims loaded into the back of one truck because there wasn't enough time to wait for ambulances. President Obama has been briefed on the shooting at 3:15 and 3:22. Police may be closing in on one of the shooters. They were reporting. At 3:40, police appear to be asking news outlets to stop filming over the scene, citing its active nature, and the FAA has issued a temporary flight restriction over the area. What, Karen?
Our media is the dumbest. It's one of those things where everybody just got to be the first. But even in being the first, if that put people's lives in danger, they don't give a fuck because they got to be the first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the shit is retarded. Like, I don't know. I don't think you should have to tell them, don't be flying overhead with live footage of officers outside of a goddamn building with a live suspect, but you have to because fuckers are like, we want to record everything.
According to a report, they were searching for a black SUV that fled the scene. A Los Angeles Times reporter at 402 provided more details. Rick Serrano says, California mass shooting. Authorities told shooters burst into a meeting firing apparent semi-automatic long rifles. San Bernardino police confirmed the regional center was hosting some sort of event when multiple shooters came in and just started shooting. They reportedly dressed in military style attire. Shooters opened fire at a meeting or a party wearing camo and mask. Police hunting for black Yukon SUV. NBC is reporting a developing SWAT situation in Pasadena that's believed to be related to the shooting. Then they found out it wasn't related. Okay. 4:30, according to ABC, gunmen opened fire on some sort of county banquet that was being held in a rented conference room in the building. Let's see, at 5 in a press conference, San Bernardino authorities are now saying at least 14 people are dead and an additional 14 injured. The gunmen, who were armed with long guns, not handguns, reportedly fled the scene in a black SUV and are still at large. The shooters.
What does that mean? Like, is this a longer gun? Is it a stronger gun?
I think they're hinting towards the fact that it could be like an assault rifle.
Oh, okay. Not a shotgun, but something that could shoot multiple rounds.
Yeah. Semi-automatic, they said earlier. So, you know, the weapons that used to be banned and aren't.
Come on anymore. Now. Right.
But Republicans said not to worry about that. It'd be just used to shoot deer. The shooters came prepared to do what they did as if they were on a mission, said Police Chief Jared Bergeron. President Obama was already sitting down for an interview with CBS when he was briefed on the shooting. He provided the network with a brief statement. The one thing we do know is there's a pattern now of mass shootings in this country that has no parallel anywhere else in the world. And there's some steps we could take not to eliminate every one of these mass shootings, but to improve the odds that they don't happen as frequently. Common sense guns, safety laws, stronger background checks. And, you know, for those who are concerned about terrorism, of, you know, some may be aware of the fact that we have a no-fly list where people can't get on the planes, but those same people who we don't allow to fly could go into a store right now in the United States and buy a firearm. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do to stop them.
Right.
According to reports, San Bernardino cops are currently chasing a suspect. This is at 6:15. This is 9 minutes ago. Who reportedly fired shots out the back window. Man. Well, who knows, man? Just sad shit. And, you know, another one of these shootings, another one, you know, it seems like white men with guns just targeted motherfuckers, like, got to kill. Not to mention, Black Friday was very lucrative if you were selling guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All of them's on sale, and the bullets.
Yeah, if you're selling guns, gun sales are up 5% more than last year. It's a record-breaking number of firearms background checks on Black Friday, indicating that gun sales soared on the busiest retail day of the year. So, that's good.
All right, that means even more people have guns in their hands, or more guns, because most people that own guns normally don't just have one firearm.
Yep. So, all right, I guess we can get into The Walking Dead now, because there's other news, but I'll get to it if we have time.
Okay.
All right, man. So, this would be episode 8 of season 6 of The Walking Dead, called Start to Finish. By the way, episode 9 is called No Way Out.
Oh, that
for people that read the good. For people that read the book, that's the title of one of the graphic novels. Also, Greg Nicotero is directing that one.
Oh, so that's gonna be good.
Yeah, he directed First Time Again, the first episode of this season, which everybody loved.
Yeah, he's a great director.
All right, so Start to Finish, episode 8 of season 6 of The Walking Dead. Let me get my music out. Should have had that going before. What did I do? There we go. Snap, we have arrived at the conclusion of the midway point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Start to Finish, episode 8, season 6 is basically about the wall being breached in Alexandria and how the crew survives after all the harrowing ordeals of, really, if you think about it, a few days since season 5 ended.
Right. It's not a long period of time at all.
I'm still amazed by this, by the way. I will never not be amazed by what they did with how, like, they filmed so much and the, you know, and it seems like, oh, we watched 6 months worth of shit and really we watched 2 days worth of things.
Worth of events, right?
Like, all this shit happened in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Like, Glenn, everything happened in 2 days. Everything that happened with Daryl and them. I love this show. I love how they switched the focus to different groups and they it's like a bunch of small stories, in my opinion, that, yeah, you know, are framed around this big ass story, and they have so many moving parts and characters and special effects, and like I said, messing with time is could not be more impressed with this halfway point. Karen, how'd you feel about episode Start to Finish?
I loved it.
All right, yeah, I liked it as well, man. I was So big fan of this episode. Finally got some of the showdowns that I've been waiting on. And you know, got some people had to say goodbye. And you know, other people found some new problems. But you know how we do here. We get into the scene by scene recap first, and then oh wait, I should probably organize this. That would probably help. didn't have my tweets organized. Give me a second, guys. But we'll do the scene by scene kind of recap thing, and then after that, we'll get into why isn't this loading? Okay, we'll get into some listener feedback about it, and then if we have time, we'll do some other fun stuff for the show. So I guess we should start at the beginning. So the episode starts in a very weird way with Sam upstairs in his little hidey hole, his closet, his safe space, his safe room. And he's like, first of all, he's leaving a plate of food that he ate out in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. So now he's eating.
Yeah, and it seems that he left a tomato and some lettuce. So I'm assuming he had a sandwich, and he's still picky in the zombie apocalypse. Nigga, you better eat that shit.
He's like, I don't want that shit.
You better eat all that shit. Also, he's listening to the soundtrack from Bioshock 2, it sounded like.
Yeah, I was like, how the hell did he get a hold of his grandpa's, what you call those old school, record players?
Right. Yeah. What you call a phone? What is it called?
I don't know.
God damn it.
I don't know what you call it.
I don't want to take it. Something phone. Speaker phone. Let's say speaker phone.
But that thing was old, and I was like, well, goddamn, how old are you, child? You, there's nowhere in the world you would know this music unless you sat around an old person that played this shit all the time.
Yeah, and I guess in the zombie apocalypse, you just don't have...
Guess you can't be picky.
Yeah, I guess CDs went out of style and tapes.
Yeah.
But those 8 tracks have come in handy now, huh?
He probably had to hand wind that shit up, because I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, so... man, I feel like I kind of want to do something. Hold on, guys. I got to do this real quick. Because I feel like... No. Actually, no. I'm going to wait.
Okay.
All right. I was about to play... we'll do it when it's applicable. We're not going to do it today. All right. So,
okay.
He gets... You know, he puts his food down and shit. And,
I forgot. That's a famous song he played, too, wasn't it? Not famous.
I don't know. Someone told me what it was. I don't give a fuck. It was like... Small Wonder or some stupid old shit. Who listens to that shit?
Some 1920 shit. Most of us wasn't alive.
Shit, sound like some the tune to slavery. You know what I mean?
Like, what the fuck is this? And why is this 6-year old or 7, however old he is, is playing this bullshit?
Like, here's the soundtrack to oppression. We were singing on.
Somebody said Tiny Tim music.
I think that might have been it. Tiny Tim.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. That's what someone told me.
Oh, it's Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Is that what it, Tiny Tim, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. So, all right, I'll play it. But yeah, it was whack as fuck to me.
Yes, it was.
I guess this is the remastered version.
Oh, this is not the original.
I don't know.
Tiptoe through the window. With me.
See, you listen to that, you too soft for this world, bro. I started calling him Sam with an N at the end. Like,
you,
damn.
He was not made for this world.
Sam, like, you know how damn is D-A-M-N? I call him Sam with S-A-M-N.
Yeah, because I was sitting there listening like, what the fuck is this music?
All right, you leaving plates in the hallway for your mama like Suge Avery. You better take your ass downstairs and wash them dishes.
That's the truth.
Then he was in there coloring, and he drew the scene that Carol threatened him with last season about tying him up and letting the walkers eat him.
Yep.
All kinds of fucked up. The boy ain't right.
because nobody really talking to him. Like, there's some, nope. I mean, it's cool to tell him to pretend and shit, but nobody is actually sitting down and talking with him. And, you know, that nobody's really talking about the downside of keeping the child out of the loop.
Well, you know what's funny is for viewers, we've gone through it before, but for Alexandrians, they haven't.
That's
you know
right.
What I'm saying? Like, I think people get frustrated sometimes. It's like, well, what about this? And it's like, Alexandrians are fucking, they're basically Rick and them season one, doing stupid shit because they don't know any better.
Right, because Carl had to be introduced to shit early, regardless of how much Lori fought against it and shit like that. She didn't want to be able to defend himself. Like, they're going through the same thing where you're like, I still want to keep my children innocent and shit like that. But the reality is they will die if they don't know how to defend themselves.
So, there were some ants calling in through the window, and there were a ton of them. Yeah. And they were all eating the cookie that I'm assuming Jesse made for Sam that he took a bite of and didn't finish. Because it probably ain't had no oatmeal and apple, whatever the hell Carol puts in her cookies.
Yeah, that shit been sitting there for a long time, and he didn't realize no fucking ants was in his room.
I think he didn't care.
That's true, too.
You know, kids ain't shit. They don't think about cleaning up or termites or any of that shit.
Or bugs or allergies and viruses or none of that germs. That ain't on their minds.
Yeah. So, the outside, the tower had fallen and cracked the gate, and now zombies were just leaking in like ants to a cookie. Message!
That's true, too. And I think that this was just to let you know how not in touch with the world he was. Like, even though the intro with that old ass music, but it was like almost symbolizing like almost the old world, like, you know how the world I guess would be in a child's mind, just really, really simplified.
Well, I just think shit was not real up in his room,
right?
And shit was so real downstairs, and he was kind of right about that. When he didn't want to come downstairs because everything had changed downstairs, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Shit is not going to be the same no more.
More than you thought, sweetie.
So, Tobin got fucked up somehow. He was bleeding. They picked him up and carried him off somewhere. Rick starts shooting at the zombies, and Deanna comes out with a gun, and she starts shooting at the zombies.
She came out bucking. And the thing about it is that even though it's been a short period of time and it took a while for them to actually believe Rick. Mm-hmm. And I think once the wolves came, they was like, we better get our shit together. And for some people are adjusting quicker than others, just like with Rick and them group. Some people adjusted better than others, because you have to remember it's season two when they went to the farm. Herschel was on another level. Don't shoot him. Don't kill him. Right. And then by the time you get, you know, season three, season four, he in the jail with the one man, peg leg, fucking up everything. So, you know, it's just, like you say, it's an adjustment. I think a lot of times people think people are just supposed to be accepting, when in reality, most of us, if this was a real world, wouldn't be that accepting of it. Some of us would be in denial and, you know, going through the same phases and the same steps that they were going to through. But I think is I give Deanna kudos, because she went from a day or two ago looking crazed and dazed and outside the walls with a boy and talking about I can't go in there, to hey, I'm a buck too.
Well, she hasn't had much time to reflect or to mourn, really. True. I mean, there was some time between season five and these current 2 days. They showed that kind of in some flashbacks, but not a lot of time.
Mm-mm.
But she did realize at some point that, hey, I have not actually gotten my shit together, and I have handicapped this group. Like, this group is not able to defend itself, and they're not prepared for the realities that Rick is talking about. And in my arrogance, I allowed that to happen. So, at any rate, she has a gun, and Rick tells her to get back, and she says, no, we need to get back. And she shoots at some zombies, and bless her little heart, she didn't hit any in the head, guys. It was, you know, it's a steep learning curve to shoot zombies in the head while running.
She caught one, but she caught him in the chin.
Yeah, she shot one in the ear. you know. But she did not hit any zombies and put them down. She's also shanked the zombie in the chest, like she's
yes, he did.
You know, just bless her little heart. You know, she was trying. So I had this thing where I was like, I really like Deanna now, because
mm-hmm.
she's fighting back. So you know that's not good. Because on this show, anytime you start liking somebody, here we go. Right now, you got to yeah. worry about them dying.
Right,
they never kill them when you hate them, unless they got like two lines. Right, like they only kill people you hate when they're like, Rick, I don't think this is a good plan. We should just walk into the zombies. Then that person dies right away.
Immediately.
But if it's like, you know, a character with a name, it's like that motherfucker ain't never gonna die until I start liking them. So, Morgan and Carol ended up in the same house, cause the group got separated because of the herd of zombies coming in. Everybody couldn't run to the same house. Morgan and Carol ended up in the same house. And I believe it's the one with the wolf in it.
Mm-hmm. Right, because when last episode ends, she was like, what the fuck up in there?
Right, and that was kind of how they ended that discussion. So I guess they just ran out, saw the zombies, ran back in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Deanna falls onto a saw, and a couple of walkers are trying to bite her and stuff, and Rick pulls her up real quick. But she's clearly bleeding from the side from where the saw cut into her.
Uh-huh.
And he basically has to help her now, like help her walk. So like she was trying, but she probably should take that advice.
Yeah.
You know, gotta crawl before you can walk. All right. Yeah. You're not up here with the big dogs yet. Mm-mm. You know, you didn't even take the machete class or the shooting gap class.
Nope, you didn't go through the training montage, how they train you, they show you how to push the R1 and bump and all that shit. They, you know, you missed the blocking session and all that shit, and you know, you out here and I'm level 99, you level 10, and you think you're gonna be out here hanging tough. Mm-mm.
Yeah, you gotta meet with Professor Rosita and get your class on.
you should have been in class.
You came out there with a gun, like, you know, like I got this. I play Call of Duty.
I have too, and I stink at it.
She gets sawed a little bit, falls on the saw blade. Then Eugene is somewhere cowering next to a house, holding his machete as if it's a fucking like baby bottle. Like
he made me so goddamn angry because I was looking at him like, nigga, you was in class less than 30 minutes ago and you ignored the fuck out of her.
Right. Probably shouldn't have skipped all that class, dog.
She was teaching you how to block, how to chop, how to, you know, insert, whether you, and you was sitting there going off in the days and being a punk and shit. And I bet you wish you would have listened now.
Yeah, he was worried about cutting someone's toes with his heavy blade.
All of them got open-toed shoes. I mean, yeah, open-toed shoes now, so what does it matter?
Right. And the zombies got no toes in their shoes.
Right.
And he was standing there, and the walkie-talkie turned on,
mm-hmm.
and it was Daryl.
Right.
And basically, it was basically the call from the end of the Daryl episode.
Mm-hmm. When Daryl and Sasha and Abe was in the van, I mean, the truck, whatever, heading back.
And he said, hey, Rick, you there, man? Rick, pick up. And then someone picked up and they said, help. Help.
Right. A lot of people thought that was Glenn.
Or the guy who stole Daryl's shit.
Right.
And it turns out it was Eugene.
Right. Being the punk, picking up a walkie-talkie and panicking when you have a fucking machete in your hand.
Everybody was wrong about that one. I didn't see anybody guess Eugene.
No. He wouldn't even have been on the top 10.
So zombies were surrounding Eugene and he was about to die. But luckily for him, Tara and Rosita rolled up on his ass because he wasn't about to do shit with that machete.
But die.
Mm-hmm. Jesse comes out the house bucking. Mm-hmm. Saves Rick, Michonne, Carl, Deanna, Ron, and Gabe.
Right.
And even Gabe had a bloody machete. He was putting in work, y'all.
Everybody's stepping up because the thing about Gabe is that I think Gabe has to the point where he knows that he's lost trust. So his thing is to build that trust back. Now, how sincere he is, we will see. But so far, he's kind of leaning in the right direction because he wanted Carl, you know, to show him how to shoot. And you know, he didn't want to be a pointless vessel anymore. And then when the wolves came, how he kind of got trapped and really couldn't fight, and how he was just in awe with Morgan and how Morgan, you know, could defend himself. And I think that those things matter. And she woke because she stood there and did a speech, was like, hey y'all, we gonna die if we don't step up. And I think she meant that.
Yeah, she shot them zombies and then she said, I have Judith, come on. And everybody ran in the house with her. And
that's right, because Carol left Judith with her,
right?
Yeah.
And so Glenn and Enid are, remember, they were standing outside Alexandria where they released those balloons. Mm-hmm. And they saw us overrun with zombies, and they saw the defense had broken. And Glenn's so optimistic, he was looking at Enid like, this is good news, we can still save them, we can get in there and we can wait till one side clears out and we should, blah blah blah. And I said, I guess you would be optimistic if you can't die because the writers won't let you, huh, nigga? Impossible agent man,
right?
Because you're everybody's favorite,
all right? Because she's like, well, nigga, I can die, so no.
Yeah. And so she was like, I don't want to go in because the writers don't give me a 7-season commitment yet. And Glenn was like, listen, I already read the books, I know what happens, just follow me. And she was like, no. And he said, you want to run away and be afraid, just go. But that's how you lose people, even after they're gone. Message. Mm-hmm. And he started walking off without her, and then she was just standing there thinking. So in Jesse's house, all the injured people, you know, Deanna's bleeding, everyone has weapons, and they're all headed upstairs where it's safe, except Ron, who's in the garage. But everyone else is headed upstairs where it's safe, going to check on Judith, going to lay Deanna down somewhere. And of course, you know, Jesse's like kind of half checking on Sam, but let's be honest, a lot of shit is happening. She's multitasking.
Right.
And her kids ain't worth saving anyway. So she's like, let me concentrate on the people that are worth something, that can move forward in this future. So she comes upstairs, and they show this scene kind of from the perspective of Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Sam. And Sam is actually having patented Nicholas Coward Vision, TM.
Yeah, I mean, but to an extent I understand, because he's a child. So to him, you know, all of a sudden you're bringing the trauma outside in his safe space. Cause actually upstairs, just upstairs period, was his safe place. And now all of a sudden it's chaotic. You have noise. He sees blood. Nobody's talking to him. It's, oh, just pretend, you know, and shit like that, when, you know, he's kind of going into a panic mode and don't really know how to comprehend it, because like I said before, nobody's really even having a conversation with this child. And even the conversation that Carol had with him, she really should have went upstairs. She was just having a conversation with him through yelling why she was holding Judith.
I don't even know if he's capable of understanding. He's a very special boy.
Ah.
And I don't know that he's at, now I don't know if he's too sheltered. He's got had a traumatic history.
Right, with his father.
Yeah. And I just don't know that he's capable of understanding on like Carl's level. He's younger than Carl, he's younger than Ron,
mm-hmm,
older than Judith, but it's just like he's like the worst age to have a kid in the apocalypse. Like, they can actually move around, but they can't do shit.
And it's hard for them to understand certain concepts.
Right, yeah. So his dumb ass is having a panic attack, or as I like to call it, coward vision. Slow motion, and then they do that sound effect where everything's muffled. Carol, so anyway, they're laying Deanna down, they're checking on Judith, all that shit. We cut to Carol, who's with Morgan in the house that it looks like the house not really being finished, built. There's nothing in it really, but it's not furnished and all this shit. So Carol's in there, and she has to lay down because they basically surmise that they think she may have a concussion. And I'm like, you know, Carol, she'll Ben Roethlisberger and play through it.
like a boss.
You know, she just go out there like it's just a concussion, but
right, she'll come in, not start. I mean, you know, somebody backup start, and she'll take their place and score 55 fantasy football points.
And she tried to get up, but she just couldn't. Like, she kind of fell back down and sat down. And Morgan tells her she has a concussion, and then he basically said, "You don't like me," and she says, "I don't trust you, but I never thought you were lying," and that's accurate as fuck. That's Morgan to a T. You can't trust him because he does things that are counterintuitive to survival.
Right.
But would he lie about him? No, probably not. Mm-mm. But it's still a lie of omission. Like, he won't lie to your face and say, "I ain't doing this," but he'll tell you because he's a stand-up dude, but your actions are still untrustworthy. They cut to downstairs in the same house. And Denise is in there talking to the wolf.
Right. And I was
by her motherfucking self with no weapon.
Right. I was so livid when I seen that. I was like, what the fuck, Morgan?
Like, she just went from wikiing doctor.
Come on.
To now practicing HIPAA. Like, she's like, I can't let a patient die. I got to take care of him. It's my sacred duty that I swore to 5 minutes ago. And she's down there talking to the wolf like, hey, you know, getting his philosophy. You know, he, you know how he do. Mm-hmm. Like, why y'all killing people? He's like, that's what we do, dog. We wolves. And I said, yeah, you looking like the second little pig down there, Denise.
Now what?
Talking yes. to the wolf. You in danger, girl.
Ain't that true? She took your ass down there with Morgan anyway.
And the wolf goes through his philosophy again about how killing people frees them from this society and this is really hell or whatever. And, you know, nobody belongs here. And he said, you know, I killed a whole lot of people, but it's all arbitrary, like how we die and shit. No, there's no karma, there's no message, there's no bigger meaning. I got cut on a rusty bumper, and I said, you know what, that is pretty arbitrary considering his lifestyle. And she asked him to show her his wound.
That shit look nasty.
Oh, it's so nasty.
That shit look disgusting. And so you have to think, in this world, you die off of shit like that because, you know, stitches, you know, most people don't have antibiotics. You know, a lot of times this shit's going to get infected and he's most likely going to end up dying.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened to the other black dude whose wound she got the infection out of.
Still at the hospital.
But I'm assuming she just realized the game plan with that. Like, okay, infected wound, I know how to fix those. Like, you know, it's like when you learn one recipe,
you get damn good at it.
It's like a man in the kitchen. He learns how to do one good recipe and then that's it. That's his shit for the rest of his life.
He don't expand beyond that.
All right, spaghetti and meatballs again.
You're like, come on, daddy.
It's always good though. It's always good, but yeah, it's the daddy. Only thing he can make.
Right. Don't challenge him, you make him mad.
So she basically said, show me the wound, as if, hey, I'm gonna fix this up for you. And you know, like getting her impossible white woman on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their love is so enduring and strong that it can do anything. And she basically just like, I don't need a weapon. All I need is some alcohol and some towels and a needle. I'm gonna save your life. I walk through the valley. I'm like, come on, Denise, let it go. But she's like, I'm gonna save this man with love, and she believes she could change him.
She do.
I'm like, when you talk to a crazy person that got a W scratching their head that just talked about killing people and how morality is all arbitrary to them anyway, yeah, that, you know what, you can die, you can go ahead and let that wound fester, it'll be okay, no big loss. Michonne is taking care of Deanna back at Jesse's house. And she's cleaning the wound, and they realize that in addition to the chainsaw, I mean the saw blade cut, it's a bite mark.
Mm-hmm.
They all look at it. It's her, Rick, Michonne, Rick, and Deanna. And Deanna has the best line of the night when it goes straight to commercial. She goes, well, shit.
Right.
It was so good, man. That is exactly what this show is. It's just like, I think the essence of The Walking Dead can be summed up by those two words and the three periods between them. Well, shit. Because everything about this show is hope against all fucking common sense.
Yes.
You are going to die. Like, the wolf guy is right. You're all gonna die. None of you belong there anymore. This is the zombies planet now. And you should just give the fuck up, because the best laid plans of mice and men collapse in this chaotic world, and they all result in just horrible, horrible consequences. You know, like, it feels like everything's so futile. Like, you know, characters live all this time, and then they make one mistake. They, you know, they have one human moment. They give one person a chance they shouldn't, and the next thing you know, they're dead. Mm-hmm. Anyway, oh, that was so good. And it's funny, because that's what I like about the show, but I think human beings aren't meant to endure this for this long, and mm-hmm. that's what people actually kind of hate about the show, because I can't think of another show that's this hopeless. You know what right. I mean? Like, even when I watched Battlestar Galactica, there was always this hope. Like, we got this site out here, and this planet out here, and there's always like a new nugget to keep you going. This joint, there is no nugget. Like, mm-mm. the best you can get in this universe is relative safety for a little while.
Like, temporary period of time, and you don't know how long.
It's so crazy. I gotta be a fucked up person to like this shit this much, but I do. Rick tells Michonne his new plan. Oh no, I think Jesse. He tells Jesse his new plan, which is like, he's gonna wait till the walkers gather up in an area, sneak out, draw them away in a car or something, and get them out of there. They'll fix the fence, blah, blah, blue, blue. Yickety smack, no problem. Here's the thing about Rick's plans. I'm not saying Rick's plans are perfect, but I think he's a great leader, because he comes up with, he makes the hard choices that other people don't want to make. The other people like to hem and haw and debate. And at the end of the day, anyone who's ever been a boss or been in charge of people or been in charge of themselves, you all know that there's a point where you have to pull the trigger on the decision and stick with it. And Rick is good at that.
Right.
Like, he's good at being like, all right, this is the plan. Boom, let's do it. And it might have some flaws, it might have some holes in it, it might need a little refining.
Yeah, but he's looking at you like, what's your plan and how you gonna execute it, and nobody ever has the answer.
Exactly. A lot of the times, the people that detract from the plan don't plan on doing shit themselves.
Right.
So, Rick got another plan, and, you know, he's gonna do all the shit with the walker herd and shit, and I'm just laughing because I'm like, it's not gonna work, because the flaw to all Rick's plans is people. People will always let you down.
Yeah, and yes, and people outside of his core group, because mm-hmm. I think the people in that core group, he knows that, you know, I can trust you, we can go get through this, but when you, and I think that's been a problem, once you start kind of extending that circle, you're dealing with people and you don't know anything about them, and you don't know if they're trustworthy, and you don't know, you know, anything else, and you're like, okay, I got this plan, but now I got to constantly deal with you fighting against me and, right. and bucking back at me and all that shit, and, you know, and it's sometimes we're like,
and also, he does know more than the other people typically that detract from the plan, mm-hmm. and as somebody who is a leader and somebody who does, you know, try to have a problem solving type of brain, there's really nothing that pisses me off than a person that has no ideas but wants to shit on mine.
Come on now.
Like, I've been in group settings that I, you know, I'm a really good team player, but I've been in group settings where I didn't do well because I got on like a bunch of naysayers team where they just didn't want to get the blame for anything.
Right.
And Rick's plans compared to the non-plans from everybody else, are always better. It's like they've all been better this season anyway, and in the past he's flawed, he's had plans that were terrible and didn't work, and mm-hmm. you know, I think he is surrounding himself with a group of people that can counterman him and be like, Michonne sometimes is like, nah, we can't do that.
Yeah, and even Carl to an extent.
Yeah everyone in his core group, Daryl.
Yeah,
you know, Rick's Daryl. Like, we don't need to recruit people no more. Daryl's like, fuck that shit. Rick's like, we should just take this place. Michonne's like, no. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's smart enough to know that he's impulsive and his weaknesses can be kind of offset with the other people around him. And he's always been smart enough to give in and listen when it's really important. Mm-hmm. That being said, you know, I think when you think about his plans, like the one to get the walkers out of the quarry. It's a fucking brilliant plan. It almost worked, except the wolves attacked Alexandria in the middle of it. There was no fucking way to know that.
Nope, you're right. It almost worked.
And if it wasn't for that truck that the horn went off in,
they would have been.
They still would have worked.
Right.
If they would have attacked Alexandria and the horn didn't go off, that plan works perfectly. You know, but it's just it's the zombie apocalypse. Always some bad shit gonna happen to you afterwards. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, and I think that's the thing that I think people don't really. Maybe they tire of it with the show a little bit, but the bad shit is gonna happen no matter what.
I think that's the truth.
You know, it makes you feel kind of like, oh, there was a way they could have played it, and it's like, not mm-hmm. really, not really. No one wants to see that show. Michonne promises Deanna that she's gonna get those plans done, and she asks her about the Latin writing on there that we figured out. Said someday this pain will be useful to you, and Deanna just kind of seems at peace with dying. Like, yes. I think she just didn't want to die a coward, and she wanted to die with a legacy, and that plan and Spencer are her legacy.
Right.
Pay attention, Eugene. Okay? Don't die a coward. So she was just kind of like, I don't know, like she had makeup on for the first time in a few weeks. Like she just had a look like, hey man, I'm all right. I'm all right with this.
Yeah, it's like she was almost like coming out of her mourning, right. But like she was coming back to life, because it was a period of time there where I was like, shit, she gonna go to the back end and shoot herself.
Oh, for sure. So then we cut to the garage, and Ron is in there crying by himself. Motherfucking Carl comes in. Now listen, last time we left, if it wasn't for the wall breaking, it looked like Ron had a gun out and was about to shoot Carl in the back like Jesse motherfucking James.
He was, but that wall hadn't failed.
Yes, but sir. The wall fell, he chickened out, they ain't have time. But he got back to his house, Jesse's house, was in the garage crying like a bitch. He was in the garage crying. And in walks Carl, like, what's up, dog? You all right?
Yeah, because Carl has no fucking idea what he just did.
Carl didn't even realize that this motherfucker hates him.
No, because Carl don't take him seriously. Carl's like, I have no reason to be afraid of you.
Right. So, he says, Enid's dead. And I said, hold up. I know Enid's alive. And obviously it seems that in his fatalistic, hopeless moment, Ron has decided that Enid's dead. I wonder if that's the same way he decided Enid was his girlfriend.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She ain't around. He speaks a lot for her.
Yeah.
Next week, he's going to be saying he fucked her.
Wouldn't surprise me because it's that ownership thing. And he got a lot of that from his daddy. You right. know, just that ownership. I quote unquote own you. Regardless of how you feel. And I think that he felt like that was one of the few things in this quote unquote fucked up world that he could actually control. Mm-hmm. Even though he really couldn't control her. Right. And I think back to some of the things you said before, they're going through the emotional turmoil that Rick and them crew went through seasons ago.
Well, also, he grew up in an environment where his mom was beaten by his father.
Right.
And he saw it constantly, and no one came to help. He probably got relationship issues. It's not like he got a counselor he can go talk to.
Right.
Anyway, Ron turns around with tears coming down his eyes, and he says, your dad's a killer to Carl, because Carl's like, we're not dead, my dad's gonna save us, we're gonna be fine. So he turns around, he's like, your dad's a killer. To which Carl says, bitch, so is yours.
Come on now.
And then it took Ron a second to think about it. Like, he hit him with that ether, he was like, that is good, that is a point. He killed Rich. And then he goes, I'm dead, Carl. I'm dead. My mom's dead. My brother's dead. And he walks towards the door. And locks it, and he says, "You're dead too." And he goes to pull out his gun, and Carl and him start fighting.
Yeah, Carl immediately went into fight mode, because it's like, he just, I don't think he knew who he was. He'd have been better off just walking up and shooting Carl from the back, because you talking to Carl, like, Carl been around for a long time, dog, even though he's not that old. And he was like, "Oh no, 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 you won't be killing me today."
I don't even know what he, like, I don't think he had a plan. I feel like he really was Jeremy. He thought he was gonna shoot up the whole house or something, because like, if he would have shot Carl and killed him downstairs, Rick and those guys come downstairs, you think they're gonna let him live?
Oh no,
like, no. He gonna, like, Rick gonna kill him, like, it was gonna cause a bunch of chaos. Mm-hmm. Not to mention zombies are right outside, and they get easily startled by cans, and they would probably be very startled by a bullet,
of course.
They get into a fight. Ron breaks the garage window, zombies start pouring in. Carl tries to brace it with a shelf. They come in anyway. They're making noise during the fight. Because the door's locked, Rick has to break the door. And right. Now they can't get out of the garage. They can't lock the garage behind them when they get out.
Right. Because he had to chop it down just to fucking get out.
Right. So Carl and Ron run into the house. And in the house, they start barricading the doors and stuff. And Ron has a moment where he's laying on the ground. He goes to pick up his gun, and he sees the zombies pouring in, and he has a moment like, "Oh, I fucked up."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Carl goes in the house. They're barricading the door. Everyone's asking what happened down there. We thought we heard fighting. And Ron and Carl's like, "No, we weren't fighting. Everything's okay." And he's covering for Ron, and Ron goes, "Yeah, mom, it was just, we were fighting the zombies, okay, or whatever." And they're like, "Go upstairs and get something else to brace this door with." They go upstairs. Ron is like, "I'm sorry, Carl, I didn't mean it." And Carl turns around and pulls his gun on Ron and says, "Give me your gun."
Right.
Which is smart. At least Carl was smart enough to get that gun from Ron. Killing them probably would have been a bad look for their blended family.
Right, but he was like, "What you won't do is try to kill me again."
And so after he got the gun, he says, "Look, man, I get it. My dad killed your dad. But you need to know something. Your dad was an asshole."
Right. Right. He whipped your ass, whipped your mama ass, got your brother terrified. Come on. Yeah,
it went to commercial, too. That was so good, man. but I just wanted Ron to hear that all season, and it was cool seeing it come from another kid. Like, your dad ain't shit, man. Okay, can we stop? Can you stop
pretending, right, that your dad was this perfect entity?
Yeah, like, you really about to fuck everything up over a deadbeat beat your mama up, nigga. Deanna, Rick goes to look for Deanna and check on Judith upstairs, and Deanna's no longer in the bed where she was bleeding out.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick goes down the hallway. He's panicking, and he opens the door to his baby Judith's room, and Deanna is reaching for the baby in the crib,
hovering over
her. She's like on the ground, like she can barely walk, and she is like, she can't quite reach into the crib to grab the baby. And Rick pulls out his axe and he goes to kill her.
Fuck her up.
And she goes, whoa, hold up, Rick, I'm still alive.
It's me. Hey.
She said, it's still me, I think. Or maybe she said that later. Either way,
yeah,
she almost got herself axed out the motherfucking picture.
Mm, really quick.
Yeah, like she was Iris on The Flash.
Ha ha!
Message. Don't worry, Chris doesn't watch this. She almost gets axed in the back of the head. And Rick sees how bad she's looking, and she tells him, "I just wanted to hold Judith one last time." And he's like, "I don't think that's a good idea in your condition. You'll be eating my baby." And he said, "From this point on, you're never alone." And she understood, which I think he just was saying, in case you do change, someone needs to be here to kill you.
Right.
Then we cut to the garage where Tara, Rosita, and Eugene have ended up.
Mm-hmm. What a combo.
What a combo. None of these motherfuckers like each other. Eugene's cowardice got Tara fucked up. But Tara's the ultimate optimist. She's like, oh, we'll be fine. There's literally zombies banging on the garage, like more than you can see through. And she's like, oh, it'll be cool. You know, this place got to have a price, right?
Right. Because I think for her, they're the closest thing to family, because it's like, hey, all my people dead. The governor killed all my people.
Well, also, Tara was in a coma for most of the bad shit. She's probably just waking up like, oh, anyway, where's Everybody Hates Chris?
Right.
You know, so where's Noah? So she's a little more optimistic about everything, and she's like, we'll be fine. And Rosita's like, I don't think so. Everything's bad. And she was like, well, this place is worth, got to have a price, right? It's right. It's worth fighting for. And Rosita said, we haven't paid it already. And Tara says, apparently not. We got to kill more walkers and do whatever it takes to keep this place. And then Rosita finally lets everybody know she thinks Abraham's dead. She said, it feels like Abraham's dead. Now he's apparently alive at this moment on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think she could just sense with her womanly powers.
I think she's just the distance.
That the romance was dead.
Right.
And that.
I don't think she's
talking
about. He
was knee deep in them chocolate cakes.
Mm. Yeah, I don't. I mean, because it might be the thing where she's talking about he's fit, but I think she's talking about like their relationship. That relationship is gone. She could just tell he's just not there no more.
Sonequa Martin Green, you sexy son of a gun. So yeah, she knew once you go black, you don't come back, so. Eugene was in the room with them while they were debating this. He's in the corner reading a fucking world history book with a lighter for light, and it was still light outside. I don't know what that was about.
Eugene's weird.
But he was reading a world history book, and Rosita eventually says, you know what? I'm going to see what's on the other side of this garage door. I'm going to use my gun and shoot through the lock. And Eugene says, now this I can help you with. Apparently he's a professional lock picker. And he picked the lock with a paperclip. So, way to go, Eugene. Way to be useful.
Right, for something.
So Morgan is in this house with Carol. And, of course, downstairs is Denise and the wolf, but Carol doesn't know that.
Nope.
She suspects it, but she doesn't know it. And she goes, Morgan is, like, you know, asking her if she's okay, and she says, you know, she's okay. And then he goes and starts listening to downstairs to see if he can hear what's going on with the wolf and Denise. By the way, nigga, if you so worried, take your ass down there.
Right.
Like, I know you don't want Carol to kill him, but Denise could be fucking, he could be wearing Denise's skin downstairs.
You wouldn't have no idea.
Yeah. Like, she ain't exactly made of tough stuff, buddy. Anyway.
And he knew that before he bought her ass.
Of course he
there.
Knew. Of course he Come knew. She's from Alexandria. She's fucking zombie bait.
Yes, she is.
So, Carol, when he kind of takes a few steps downstairs to see if he can hear anything, Carol turns the light off upstairs. He goes upstairs to investigate. She hops out of nowhere, pushes him, and runs downstairs into the basement where she finds Denise taking care of the injuries of the wolf. And she goes, get away from him, I'll kill him. And Morgan's like, I can't let you do that, girl, and all that
yes,
shit
nigga.
And he pulls out the bow staff, she pulls out her like small knife, and it's about to be on. And he says, this could have waited, now it can't. I like that. And then they cut the commercial. Right. Let's see what else happened. Deanna told Michonne about that phrase, someday this pain will be useful to you. And Michonne basically has a tearful goodbye. I think Deanna meant a lot to her, but more important, she thanked Deanna for dreaming, because Deanna's dream meant a lot to Michonne. She wants to have stability, and she believes in the dream of Alexandria and a place that you can protect and a place worth fighting for. Like, nobody in the crew wanted this to work more than Michonne.
Right.
Like, peacefully, you know? Carol and Rick just wanted to take the shit.
Right.
And she tries to thank Deanna, and Deanna's like, I still believe. I cocked it all up, but I figured it out. So we'll see what happens with that plan. I'm assuming that's gonna come back though,
right? Because she kept asking her, what does she believe?
Mm-hmm. Rick finally decides to do something we've all been wondering why they don't do every week. Cut some zombies up and use their guts to disguise their sense and walk right through them and walk out.
I don't think that's something you want to constantly do.
Yeah, it must stink. That's my, now, the only thing I could come up with is it just must really, really fucking stink. Be unsanitary. You don't know where your next shower is coming from.
You get infections. Yeah. You get disease. Because even with Michonne, she used two zombies, like living zombies, to protect her, which makes more sense than actually covering yourself up with it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's kind of hard to do. And then if, you know, right. And I think in close proximity, it's probably really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then also, you know, how you gonna get everybody two zombies and some chains and shit? So they had to do what they had to do for the amount of people they had in there.
Right. And most, they had like ponchos and shit like that. But, you know, who's gonna be walking around putting this shit on their regular clothes, their regular skin for a sensible period of time, make yourself sick, you might have cuts, anything.
Mm. Yeah, now if you get a rainstorm or some shit, you're gonna die.
Yes, you are, immediately.
You start running, making noise, you're gonna die.
Yes, you are.
But when you don't, it's the best of a bunch of bad choices. So Rick cuts up the zombies, slimes everybody down with them. Sam comes out and he's scared. He's like, Mama, I'm scared. And she said, calm down, baby. That ain't nothing but the Lord doing his work. Actually, Jesse's advice is actually worse than that.
Yes, it is.
Her advice was, pretend that you're a kid that's not a bitch.
Yeah, he's like, Mommy, I've been pretending forever.
He's like, yeah, this is me being a kid that's not a bitch. He's like, well, for 10 better, nigga, we gonna die.
Right.
Carol's advocating for the death penalty of the wolf with Morgan in the basement. And the wolf is actually his own worst defense, his own problem. Cause he's like, yeah, y'all should have killed me. I'm terrible. I'm gonna kill all y'all. Y'all gonna die. You don't belong here. And, you know, I'm gonna make sure to take y'all out.
And he meant it.
Yeah, wolf don't give a fuck about living, bruh.
Mm-mm.
And so Carol's like, nah, we're gonna fight this out right now. We're gonna squab this out and I'm gonna kill him. And Morgan's like, I can't let you do that. And so they get ready to go one-on-one. And they start, he uses a bold sweep maneuver to knock the knife out of her hand. And they start fighting and, you know, going back and forth with the bow and the knife.
Mm-hmm.
which was cool. You know, I actually enjoyed it. You know, it was a good fight. We all been wanting to see Carol versus Morgan. I felt like this music was playing, by the way, when they got into the fight. That's exactly how it felt to me, because I was just like, part of me hates Morgan, and he's just like the worst kind of like pacifist motherfucker. Just, I will fight you to make sure this man has his rights. And you're like, he wants the right to kill us?
Yeah,
like,
right.
what are you really fighting for? I don't understand.
It don't make sense.
Right, like, and the thing I like about this, compared to the comic book, because Morgan's crazy in the comic book,
mm-hmm.
right? The thing about his crazy here, it makes so much more sense in this world.
Because yes,
Morgan was a type of crazy in the comic book where I was like, normal people wouldn't let him be around. They would just be like, no, nigga, you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so, like, something bad gonna happen with you being around. You can't even blend in with people. You talk to yourself all fucking day. You're a weirdo. We don't trust you. Okay? You're out of the group. This kind of Morgan is not really like that. He's cool, except for that one thing.
Right. You go, you're a good person, but come on, dog.
It's like having a racist white friend. Where he's like, you cool except for that whole race thing. Just, you know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't for the nigger thing,
we would be all right.
We could hang out. But it's that is the deal killer, though. And that's Morgan. Like, he won't budge on this principle, and he's willing to fucking fight and beat up Carol, which he does. After she struggles to get a knife, he picks up and slams her. She's knocked out unconscious, and while he's making sure he didn't kill her, I'm assuming.
Right.
The wolf picks up his bow staff and knocks Morgan's punk ass out too.
Right.
Nigga. So mad.
What? I was angry at him.
Oh, he's the worst. Ah. Oh.
And that shit's gonna come back to bite everybody in
the ass. It already kinda has, though. It already kinda has. And maybe it'll get worse, but it already kinda has. Even, you know, so they're knocked the fuck out.
Both of them.
And Denise, who apparently all this time hasn't even had a fucking weapon.
Nope.
In a room with a goddamn serial killer.
That's Morgan's fault.
Yeah, it's her fault too. She should know better. She ain't no real doctor.
True, but she also
did get a weapon.
Yeah, but like it goes back to the being in Alexandria, and she didn't know what she was walking into. She didn't know who he was. Morgan just walked her ass down there blindly.
Yeah, everyone in Alexandria should have a gun at this point. Olivia ain't doing nothing to keep him checked in. Get you a gun.
Ryan, you could just walk in and take one.
Ryan got a gun and several bullets. Get a gun. So this fool sees the wolf get the damn bow staff, and she just goes, no, and he takes the knife and points it at her, and then it kind of skips to the next scene. Rick is getting everybody dressed up in zombie guts, and Gabe comes over and says, because the plan is they dress in zombie guts, they walk right out behind the zombies, and they get away home free, as long as nobody makes any noise and as long as it don't start raining. So they've got to do the plan. Gabe goes up, he says, I'm not gonna give up out there. I will not turn back no matter what happens. And Rick says, I know. And it made me wonder, do you think Rick's starting to begrudgingly accept the idea that they are all in the same game? It's not just his people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and truth be told, you can tell from him not allowing Deanna's son to die, as much as he claimed that, you know, he didn't care, he cared.
Yeah, yeah. And he didn't want to say the right answer, which we find out later. Anyway, Denise is with the wolf, and she says, you don't have to kill us, just let us all die. You don't have to do this. And you say we're gonna die anyway. And then the wolf takes the knife and like gets closer to her, and she goes, you're so full of shit. And he's like, you're what I like about people, because this motherfucker loves talking.
Right.
And Tara, Eugene, and Rosita all come in through that door after Eugene picks the lock, and Eugene has a machete, Tara and Rosita have guns, and the wolf takes Denise hostage. And I'm like, what? And he goes, give me your guns, give me your weapons, slide them over, I want them. And they give him their weapons. And then they were like, you don't need her. You don't need Denise. And he said, I know. Which I'm assuming means he wants her for something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think he wants her for?
To take back to the pack.
Yeah, maybe. And what I was thinking also is he may mistake her cleaning up his wound for having some medical expertise that she probably does not have.
Right, gonna get her there and get her hemmed up.
She only know how to make one meal. She know how to fix infections. That's it.
Right.
I hope nobody need a kidney transplant or some shit,
because it ain't happening with her.
I'm like, he's gonna be horribly disappointed when she ain't got her books.
Right, nothing to read or research.
Yeah, she gonna be like, hold on, I tried to use SC. Always cut first. Is that right? No, that's wrong. Whoops, you're dead. The zombie guts plan was working real good. Everybody was walking out. Glenn and Enid climbed a tree. They could see over the fence, and they saw Maggie on top, like by the fence.
Right, and then Poe thing. She was out there all by herself.
Stuck.
I thought she wasn't gonna make it, man.
Right. She just sitting there baking in the hot sun. Deanna decides, I'm not gonna kill myself with my gun, because she wanted to go out on her own terms. And she decides, oh, And she had told Rick, I forgot to mention this, the correct answer to that question about Spencer last week, where it was, why did you save him? And he just said, 'cause he's your son. The correct answer apparently is 'cause he's one of us.
Right.
Anyway, so he, so Deanna says, fuck this, I don't want to kill myself. Takes her gun with her last bullets and shoots them at zombies as they head up the stairs to eat her. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm assuming they go in and eat her.
Yeah, and I like her last scene, just that powerful scream, because she kept telling Michonne, too, I'm going to go out on my terms, the way I want to go out.
Right. So, Gabe was looking nervous as fuck as they were sliding out, and Sam starts waiting till they're all the way out of the house, all the way out front. They're all holding hands, they're all moving slowly, and he goes, Mom?
Like, in the, like really low. I was like,
this. And Jesse's ignoring him.
Right.
And so is his older brother.
So he's talking louder.
So he says, Mom? Mom? And then they end the episode.
I was like, when they come back, this nigga gonna be 8.
They are, it's gonna get like, so...
I was like, eat his ass.
Listen, episode 9 is about to start with a motherfucking bang. Oh, motherfucker's about to get 8, and it's gonna be people we know. Like, the people in that little group are Gabe, Michonne, Rick, Carl, Ron, Jesse, Sam. The zombies are literally surrounding them. Unless they pull another Glenn and reshoot the whole scene. Somebody getting 8, y'all.
Somebody got to die.
People got to die.
Right, because the thing is, this motherfucker, because what pissed me off about that scene, I was like, bitch, you've been upstairs in your room for 2 weeks and hadn't said shit and won't come out, and now you decide to goddamn, oh, I was so mad at that little boy.
Right. Why can't you be more like Peter from the Cosby Show?
I was so mad at that little boy.
Now, here's the last thing. You had to watch Into the Badlands, and after the first commercial break, they actually show a clip that should have been included in this show, in my opinion.
Right.
And it's basically Abe, Sasha, and Daryl are confronted by Negan's men. Negan is apparently the head of the group from the episode about Daryl, Sasha, and Abe. Mm-hmm. The group that was looking for those people who had apparently absconded with some fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically breaks it down. It's a bunch of these guys that are all sitting in a, they're all sitting on motorcycles. They all have weapons. They're blocking the street. And they basically say, look, you can do this the easy way or the hard way. But you got to give us your fuel. You got to give us your weapons. He even said, like, I want the stack of emergency napkins.
I want your pornography.
Yeah, you got porn under the seat. That's mine. Like, we're taking all of it, and it's for Negan. And they said, who the hell is Negan? Basically, it's like, hey, don't, you know, Negan the person is about to be taking all your shit, nigga.
You're right.
He says your property now belongs to Negan, and then that's the end. The only thing I'll say about this, that it just left a bad taste in my mouth, and it's kind of like the Glenn thing. Why are you putting it during Into the Badlands?
Right.
Like, you clearly, like, is Into the Badlands doing bad or something? Are the ratings not high enough?
No, it's second behind that show every Sunday.
Okay, so like, what the fuck, man? Like, AMC is getting so weirdly desperate with a show that is money in the bank every week. Like, it's gonna get the highest ratings on TV unless you fuck it up.
Come on now.
And they're so dangerously close to fucking this show up. I don't know why they have a death wish in for the show, but
right. They're
so dangerously close to breaking that fourth wall to a point where people are gonna be like, okay, like, so now... this is to get me to watch Into the Badlands. And I love Into the Badlands, but there's got to be a ton of people who are like, yeah, now I'm going to switch to The Leftovers. Oh, fuck, I can't see the preview for next week until 10 minutes from now. I guess I'll go back.
Right.
So that's some bullshit, in my opinion. Right,
instead of just doing an extra clip on the end like you normally do.
And saying, like, the way they said Negan, which I've been pronouncing wrong all this time in my head, I thought it was Negan. Anyway, the way they said Negan, who's in this world, for people that don't read the comic books, it's okay, who's that? But if you read the comic books, you know who it is. It was almost like they looked at the camera and winked.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, your stuff belongs to Negan now. And they just looked at the camera and was just like, oh, won't be fooled again.
Yes.
I'm like, all right, comic book people get excited.
Right.
All right, we do have some feedback for this episode, and
okay. This
feedback is brought to you by Bevel.
Mm-hmm.
This episode and this feedback is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Get clearer, smoother skin with Bevel. Ladies love it. Girls adore it. I mean, even the ones that never saw me. Bevel is the first and only shaving system created for men with coarse and curly hair. A lot of people using these other razors on their skin and shit. And you can tell. Okay, guys? We all know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Cut it out. We know what you do when you go in that bathroom, and it's disgusting. Cutting your face with that shit. Get you some nice stuff on your face. Get Bevel. Get Bevel.com where you need to go today. And use code TBGWT to get 20% off your first month. GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, let's look at y'all's feedback. Adrian writes in, Walking Dead season finale. Hello, Rod, Karen, and guest. Whoa, that finale. So much to talk about, but I'll keep it to a few thoughts. Clearly, Carol has left a lasting impression on Sam. Sam. What with his drawing the picture of what she described she do to him back at the party. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't notice any A's on anybody's hand this week. I'm glad we got some resolution with the Carl/Ron tension. Those two weren't fooling either of their parents. Speaking of parents.
No, they wouldn't, because they looked at each other like these niggas in there fighting.
Yeah, they knew.
Right.
At the wrong, so many people were fighting at the exact wrong time. But I will give them credit. They built up all those storylines.
Mm-hmm.
None of those fights, none of that shit came out of last place, out of nowhere. The people who started them were not in their right minds. I feel like Carol starting that fight with Morgan is proof she had a concussion. Cause that's kind of stupid shit you do when you got a concussion. But I'm gonna fight this motherfucker right now. It's like, actually, RG3, what you need to do is take this concussion protocol.
Right.
Sit your ass down.
And his thing was like, we could have handled this once you got better.
Mm-hmm.
But you ain't want to hear that.
Listen, Morgan was wrong, but Morgan was right.
Right.
This wasn't the time. And Carol's brashness and stubbornness and pigheadedness and control freakness, okay? Because what I believe is, since Carol is a victim of domestic violence, right, and being a survivor, her thing is, she's so aggressive in this environment as a means of control.
Right.
She needs to control her environment because she will never be a victim again, including killing motherfuckers like that wolf.
Right, because she's like, you will not come back and kill me or people around me just because I didn't take control of the situation.
Right. Anyway, speaking of parents, didn't it seem like the group haven't gotten Sam was in his room? What did you think of Jesse's parenting, telling him to pretend he is brave? I think Sam's a very flawed, fucked up kid, and you know your kid better than I know your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she just basically said, pretend that you are brave, because there's no way to fucking convey that message to a kid that you're about to dress in zombie guts and walk downstairs and he's gonna see his first zombies for the first time. There's just no way around it. You can't leave him there. You can't let him die. And he's still a kid. So you talk to him in the kid language you think he'll understand. But it ain't, newsflash, he's a fucking kid. It might not work.
Right. And the bulk of his life has been cowering behind her and being, you know, lock yourself in the room.
Right.
And so it's a constant pretend world for him.
Also, I don't think zombies hold hands. Well, first of all, she said those houses definitely were not built for a zombie invasion. Well, that's true. But she said, also, I don't think zombies hold hands. You don't know that, Adrian.
There could be some zombie love.
You ever been a zombie? You ever seen a zombie in love? Hmm? Didn't they have a movie about a zombie in love?
Mm-hmm.
He was holding hands. He was doing a lot more than holding hands. You know what I'm saying? that's all. Thanks for the great half season of recaps. Have a lovely week. No problem, man. I actually am kind of looking forward to them being done so that I can get back to doing 5 shows a week where we talk about news. Because news keeps getting backed up sometimes.
Yes, it does.
And also, just, you know, I think everybody kind of needs a break. This is one of the most mentally exhausting shows, and everyone gets so excited for it. And honest to God, I swear they do this every year. They get super duper excited, but the show is so depressing and bleak.
Yes, it is.
That you just can't help but turn on the show every year. And this one, the most egregious one, because the Glenn thing gave everybody a really good excuse to be like, I'm out. But I bet you if I looked up the ratings,
it was still high.
I wonder, you know, let me look up the ratings. I didn't even do that this time. I forgot. I normally look at the rating number just to see if it changed, if it fluctuated at all. Cause sometimes, you know, you can tell. Holy shit. It went up. Are you? Wow. Wow. It's the second highest rating of the season.
I believe it.
Apparently none of y'all like to talk some shit, but y'all don't actually do shit. Everybody's like, I'm gonna quit next time. I'm gonna quit next week.
Well, your TV tells otherwise.
Kadesha, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Or Kadesha, whichever one it is. Writes in, Walking Dead mid-season finale, Telephone Man. First, let me say the conversation with John, Jacob, Michael, Paul, Judas, God had me dying. Oh, he's talking about the Medium talk. I laughed so hard I became sober. Second, how much does it cost to be a premium member? $15. I want to press the button, but my Jamaican mama has instilled a fear of internet purchase. Write me back so we can set it up 90 style. What is 90 style? I don't know.
I have no idea.
My mama warned me about people trying to set it up 90 style.
What the hell's a 90 style? What you gonna cut us a post-dated check? I don't understand. Yeah,
we set this PayPal up for a reason. To get this money. Third, the Christian woman trying to shame Katy Perry's parents told me her whole life story in that rant. She was raised in an average, close to being... This is not really about The Walking Dead. Should I just move this to The Walking Dead? To the regular folder?
It don't matter.
Let's see. Close to being upper middle class, but just didn't make it. Family where one or both parents had them strong Bible laws, but that she never broke. She married a man that was approved, had a kid, and later found her child masturbating and her husband having an affair with the freak next door that lets him do anal. Lastly, The Walking Dead was amazing. The actress who plays Deanna was vying for that Emmy. The scenes with Morgan and Carol had me on edge. I have never prayed so hard for the safety of a white woman. Aww. Like I was praying for Carol. Everybody was cheering for Carol.
Oh yeah. Now I was out, Eddie, and when he did that, I was like, nigga, you got to die.
Bye. I really thought one of them was gonna die because the wolf, but I think this might be the best case scenario because one, I don't really give a fuck about Denise, but I knew Morgan's stupidity would cost him somebody. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad the wolf didn't just escape because it'd be another reason that he could write it off like all lives matter, Rick. Mm-mm. Like now he's got to deal with, hey, if Denise is dead, it's you killed her basically,
right?
All lives matter, that bullshit. All life is precious. She was also amazing in this episode. Okay, wait, I've said that already. She has to kill him, so... I was praying for Carol. She was also amazing in this episode. You can see the pain in her face and the love that she has for the people when she said she has to kill him so no one else she has grown to care about dies. Michonne and Rick got that advice and wisdom drop on them, and the interaction between these characters had me on an emotional roller coaster. Carl did me proud when he went and got that gun from Ron. Finally, he heard them words that he was in denial about. His dad is a fucking asshole. Don't want to drag this out any longer. Love the episode. I can't wait to hear your review. Well, thank you very much, Kadesha.
Thank you.
Or Kadesha. I don't know which way it's pronounced. The Walking Dead, aka Morgan, is officially on the trading block.
Not the trading block.
Evening, Karen and Rod. My thoughts are all over the place typing this, so please excuse that. This episode was a doozy. First off, before I complain about Morgan, how about that lip acting from Miss Denai towards the end of the show with Deanna? I noticed it. You know I noticed it. Big chocolate lips quivering. All I could think was, Letty Mae lip acting school has taught you well. Letty Mae Daniels. I'm upset I won't get my fix for a while. Yeah, I'm going to catch up on some things.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit that I had started watching and need to watch.
Yeah, I need to watch Jessica Jones. I haven't watched, I haven't got all the way caught up on The Leftovers. A bunch of stuff. Deanna hurt herself in the most Alexandrian way, but she bossed her way through it. Even though injured and bitten until the very end, I even stood up and started clapping when she opened that door and started popping walkers instead of offing herself.
Me too.
Yeah, must have sucked to got bitten to death though. I would have saved one bullet for me. Meanwhile, Ron and Morgan were off running for Fuckboy Shit of the Year award. It pains me to say this, but can the black delegation trade Morgan for Glenn or 2 fourth-round picks?
Oh.
He really, one, actively kept a wolf alive. Two, left the only person that has some medical knowledge along with the psycho. Three, protected the dude from Carol, but had no problem slamming a concussed woman on the ground. When he got Barry Bonds with his big staff, my arms went up yelling, "This nigga right here, you know that's what you got, what you get." Yeah, I will say this too about Morgan. I don't know when he crossed that line between "I will not let you hurt me," which is what that dude taught him, and "I will beat you up to keep you from hurting this other guy." That's some Batman, Superman, Spider-Man type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wanted the wolf to finish him, but black actors matter. I wouldn't have cared. I don't have that attachment the way y'all do. Like, if you black and you fucking up, you can get it too. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
I don't care. I ain't great on no curve. Niggas out here fucking up, but they black. Mm-hmm. Lenny James can act his ass off, but unless Morgan start acting right, he can die.
Yep.
Fucking up the whole program.
Yep, just like Sam got to go.
Yeah, I was glad when Tyrese died. Everybody writing in sad. Bye, nigga. You fucked up. When we start being okay with this? Because he black, which y'all cheer for R. Kelly too? Don't write in if you cheer for R. Kelly.
Please don't.
Meanwhile, in Emotional Hormones Town, Ron must have watched too many episodes of Snap because he had a backup plan to off Carl since shit hit the fan outside. Then after he fails, he apologizes like, "Man, I was tripping. God, I wanted Carl to knock his ass out so bad, but Carl handled that whole situation so well. I wanted a little bit of crazed head cock to the side Rick to come out of him when he was taking the gun from Ron, but I'll take the bars he was serving as well." That's true. I did. That would have been funny. He would start waving that gun to the side. By the way, did you guys think Rick and Jess both knew they were lying about not fighting? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It just was not the time.
The way they were looking, they was like, "Y'all lying, but we gotta stop these fuckers from coming in, so right now ain't the time to address that bullshit."
It just was not the time. Right. They did not have time. They needed to get the fuck out of the house before them zombies came up there.
Right.
I wanted a little bit of felt like they had that parental telepathy going on. Yeah, parents know. They know their kids. Plus, the way Rick asked Carl, "Was it okay?" had me feeling like Rick automatically thought they were bullshitting. I'm sure everyone else emailing you will catch other points, so I'll end my here. Peace, love, and soul to you, Uncle Rod and TT Karen. LOL. P.S. The way they'd end scenes before commercials with one-liners was way hilarious to me. Yeah, it was so good this week. So good. Oh, P.S.S. Where the fuck was Heath? I literally wrote that down during our review just now. Like, I had this written about 40 minutes ago. I wrote, "Where was Heath?" Yeah, Heath was just, he went up to the room with Judy Winslow.
Oh, never came back.
And Cyrus's baby from Scandal. He just disappeared.
Right.
The Walking Dead feedback from EVE. "Hi, Rod and Karen. Another good episode of The Walking Dead. I was expecting more character deaths, but I suspect we'll get a couple in the next half of a season. One of the reasons I love the review you guys do is because no matter how many times I watch an episode, I always miss something, and I'm sure I missed something this episode because there was a lot going on. First of all, I'm not sure who I can't stand the most right now, Morgan and his All Lives Matter philosophy, or Emo Ron." Yeah, whew, yeah. That is close.
All right.
Shit. I don't know how you, that's, man, that's like picking between fucking peanut butter and chocolate right there. "This is the second time, maybe third, that Morgan's bad decisions have come back to haunt the others in the group. This mofo has got to go. It's one thing to not kill like Glenn, but it's quite another thing to do a suplex to suplex someone to prevent them from doing what he doesn't have the balls to do. His bad decisions are literally putting the group in danger. I don't think it was the right time to confront Morgan about that wolf on Carol's part, but Morgan is on some fuck shit." Agreed on both counts.
Mm-hmm.
"When Rick finds out, and he will, Morgan will either be kicked out of Alexandria or be killed by Rick. It's unfortunate that what happened to his character because he used to be one of my faves. Now I don't care if he gets killed or not. I know the show seems to have a quota on the brothers, and currently there are three of them, so if one has to go, my vote is Morgan. Yep, I choose him over Father Gabriel's useless ass." Well, actually, it's more than three brothers. You got Buddy that got shot and had his wound infected. He ain't dead yet. You got Heath. Then you got Gabriel. Then you got Morgan. There was also a Sinbad looking nigga somewhere in the last episode, but I feel like that's an extra and I don't count those. You gotta have at least one talking line.
Yeah, he got ate up by the hood.
Yeah, you can't be like, run. That's not, that don't count. As for Ron, that little motherfucker needs to catch the hands. Carl is doing a really dumb thing by keeping that, what that asshole did, a secret. You know what? Carl, to me, is more mature than his father. And that may come back to bite him. But he knows you can't always tell everybody everything, and it would fuck up everything between his father and Jesse and the friendship between him and Ron and shit. I'm not saying those things are right, but in the heat of the moment, there was a lot more pressing shit going on. And he may even be like, I'm gonna tell dad later, but for right now, let's get the gun out of this dude's hand, everybody work together, and we'll let it go. And then maybe it'll come up later. But yeah, it reminds me of when Glenn let that other asshole Nick live and almost got him killed. He really did get him killed. They shot it another way. Keeping secrets hasn't worked out for other characters. It didn't work out for Morgan, and it sure as hell didn't work out for Glenn. Well, Glenn's still alive. Ron is a delusional asswipe, and Enid wasn't even that into him, but because she actually spoke to him, he decided she was his girlfriend. I believe that. The zombie apocalypse is the best thing that ever happened to that kid, because you know he didn't have friends in school. He was that kid who always had a faint odor of shit because he never wiped his ass that good. I can't tell that. He was the kid who would peep into the windows of neighbors to watch them have sex. Well, weren't we all those kids? Oh, no, just me? Okay, sorry. He's that kid who would pick his nose and then stare at what he dug out longer than was necessary. Sometimes he'd eat it. Having other kids in the zombie apocalypse was like heaven for him, because finally he actually had friends, although they were probably just using him for his Xbox.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, speaking of porn, I watched porn last night. And it had, and I'm not joking, it was Go-Go Fuck Me, I think is her name. And she was fucking, and she's this like real beautiful fat ass stripper, black woman. She was fucking a actual puppet. Like, not a person in a costume, not a cartoon, not special effects.
Like Pinocchio?
Like, they went and got the Muppet style puppetry get up, and she really did have sex with it. It was like a 30-minute scene.
Or like he made out of wood.
Yeah, it was making jokes. Like, you couldn't, it was impossible to jack off to. Impossible. I fucking defy you. And no person on earth has the focus to make it through that shit.
Without just questioning your life.
I had to just put my dick away and be like, what is this? It was funny. It was entertaining. But yeah, like, the puppet was talking, and the puppet had a high-pitched puppet voice.
It like, was talking?
Yeah, she fucked the puppet. It was like the puppet was like, yeah, girl, you need to come over here and get some of this. You know what I mean? Like, oh, slow down now. I'm sensitive. Oh, no. I'm sensitive. Oh, I'm coming. Like, it was like that.
Oh, no. Did he bust a nut, too? Wood? Did splinters come out? What's happening here?
It wasn't a wood puppet. It was like the Muppets. It was like Kermit.
Oh, those type of Muppets.
Yes.
Oh, so did they have handmans? You know how the Muppets have to have other people.
Yes.
Oh, shit. You couldn't see. I was joking.
They filmed it so you couldn't see the person that was operating the puppet, but yes, it was. Oh. It was just like the Muppets. And she fucked the shit out of that puppet. It freaked me out. I was like.
Did they have it behind the stage? You know how they do when they do the puppet shows?
It wasn't a stage. It was like, I'm telling you, it was like the Muppets, Karen. You know how Kermit and them go places on the Muppets now?
Yes.
It was like that. You could see his legs sometimes, and you could see like kind of the sticks that they were using to move it, but like the puppet was talking and everything. I don't even know what the fucking name of it was. Just look up like
Muppet porn. Happening here?
Look up like fat ass stripper fucks puppet or something. Cause I mean, and it was weird cause she's very attractive and shit, but it was also like she was fucking a puppet.
When she's in protection, did they have Muppet AIDS? What's happening here?
I don't know, man. It disturbed me. I had to tell the universe about this. Maybe it's another person on earth out here that's into this, because
what was her name?
I didn't see that coming. I think it's Go-Go Fuck Me, F-U-K-M-E, or Go-Go. I think that was her, but I don't think her name was in the title. I think it was just like, you know, when you stream it, it was just like stripper fucks puppet or some shit. And she fucked the shit out of that puppet. Like, she did a good, like, she fucked the puppet like it was a real person. Like, it was a real 2 foot tall person that was fucking her. She rode the puppet, and then the person that was doing the puppet job was taking it so professional. Like, he was just like, oh yeah, bitch, you gonna fuck me, you gonna get this dick, girl, you gonna get this puppet dick. It's like, it's like, felt like Elmo was getting fucked.
No thank you.
Oh, I don't even know what the puppet, like, maybe it was Peanut, I can't remember the puppet's name. I could, like, I just lost control, like, everything. I was like, I don't, yeah, it just felt like a blank spot in my mind. I was just like, I guess I've reached the end of the internet. I've downloaded every porn video of all time.
Apparently so.
Anyway, look it up, guys. Enjoy. Please don't get me started on his little brother. Sam is the worst. Fuck that kid. I know a lot of people had problems with Carl from season two, and I was one of them. But out of all the kids on this show so far, maybe except Micah, Carl has been the least annoying.
Right, I agree.
That's true. I love how other kids being around immediately makes you go, and I love Carl. That's all it took. Like, when Carl was the only kid and it was tons of fucking people around, it's like, god damn, man, Carl's such a hard person. Then you see kids who don't know and they're like Carl in season one, and you're like, oh no, that's annoying. This right. Carl's pretty tough. On a side note, where exactly does that wolf think he'll go with that horde outside? Does he not realize what's going on? Looking forward to the second half of the season. Maybe he has a way around it, I don't know. Emil, yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, maybe he's come up with some. I mean, obviously they've been navigating out there by themselves. They walk a mid-season finale. Emil says, hello, Rod, Karen, and guests, if applicable. Wow, what an episode. After this mid-season finale, I'm prepared to forgive the writers jumping the Nick in previous episodes. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever forgive them, but I'm not giving up on the show. The same way I'm not giving up on The Flash for sidelining Iris for the first 8 episodes of the season.
Come
like,
on now.
I'm not so pissed that I'm like, I'm out, but I get why people are pissed, and I get the people that leave. Like, mm-hmm. I completely understand. They brought the story back around. Maybe I should know better, but the way it ended, I still have a real sense of the group being in real peril, of course. Also, I want to say something. I think this show feels like the comics.
Mm-hmm.
For in all good and bad ways that applies,
right? Correct.
It feels the most like the comics. Like, a lot of people make these weird complaints about, like, the convenient plot of zombies and how the zombies change, and they do, they absolutely do, and they also do in the comic.
Yes, they do.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like, so when you need a person to die, hey, sometimes they just weren't checking around the corner and a zombie got them, or sometimes some unfortunate circumstances fell them and that's how they got killed, or sometimes they bring it on themselves. But the zombies do kind of, it's whatever the fuck is dangerous that day. And you know, I understand, I just think it's a fundamental conceit of the show and the comic book, and I don't think there's anywhere around it, but it feels very much like the comic.
Yes.
I like the way they tied this thread in with Daryl, Sasha, and Abraham by showing us that Eugene's cowardly ass is the voice on the radio mumbling help. My main point, though, is Morgan. Now that the wolf has kidnapped and will probably kill Tara's boo to be, and the only doctor left, Morgan's place in the group has become untenable. I don't see how they can bridge that gap, and I see expulsion as inevitable. Yeah, because I don't think Morgan and Carol had woken up when the wolf escaped.
No, so everybody's going to have questions when they go back in that room.
Yes, and we're going to see if what Morgan says to defend himself from that, or if he even feels regret or anything. With Morgan eventually snapping and reverting to clearing, oh, you think that'll happen? The group cannot afford his pacifism, as it has real consequences. Speaking of the group, do you foresee Rick heeding Deanna and Michonne's advice and treating Alexandrians as part of the group, or do you still see him excluding them? Karen?
Oh, he's going to accept him. He's not going to have a choice, because you need people. You can't make it alone.
Yeah, I think Rick has another arc in his development, and the bigger the problem, the more he realizes that his small group, as awesome as they are, he has to make that small group a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger, and start training people and helping the shit.
Mm-hmm.
On a separate note, Jamie's younger son is the worst. Sam, he's the worst. I agree. God, Sam. Keep up the great work and keep getting the big gay Jew money. I will get that money. Mm-hmm. You know how we do over here, big gay Jew. And lastly, Cecil writes in, this might be looking too deep into it, but that cookie in the opening shot represented the group and the ants are the walkers. I think I said that when we first started this review. Message: in the grand scheme of things, there's no way and no hope. I don't fully understand why Carlos was taking that kid who tried to kill him. When did Carl change from the kid who shot the guy in front of Herschel to this? Maybe I missed something in his development.
He's been slowly evolving and slowly changing over time. Mm-hmm. It's been times where his daddy has just wild out, and Carl, not trying to be funny, has been the person of reason periodically.
Carl didn't shoot that guy that was a wolf.
Right.
Until when the guy was like, please, please have mercy, and then Carl had to kill him. But remember that Carl was going to let that dude live. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Carl is, and remember, Carl was challenged on shooting that guy. He had his gun taken away. He was chastised for that. I think he's actually more thoughtful than his father is and more forgiving than his father is. Also, I think I can't emphasize this enough, there really wasn't time for that shit. The only thing he could have done was kill Ron, which, you know, I think would have had his own repercussions and consequences.
Right, and he wouldn't deal with that.
Right. And also zombies would have got in and shit too. Or he could take his gun away and then it come back to this point later. Eugene should have took his, because I really do feel like he would have told his dad later.
Yeah, I think he still may.
Yeah, I think that's gonna happen, unless, you know, they all die. Mom! Anyway.
That nigga.
Eugene should have took his shot and tried to get that threesome popping in the garage. You know Tara wants a piece of that Latin spice. Yeah, I noticed she did call her beautiful.
Mm-hmm. No, she like her.
Tara's so smooth. Already over Denise. I'm guessing Heath is filming straight out of Compton because he hasn't been in the past few episodes. Final thought, after the Glenn thing, do you think the show will ever kill off a main character again? Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually think they're going to go extra hard, but the thing is, depends on what you define as a main character. I don't know that I think they're going to kill a bunch of people eventually, but I think the show knows, like, that core group from season one is like the group that people want to see live the most. So those deaths will have to be a little more arbitrary and earned, but I think they are definitely going to kill off a main character. And I think the Glenn shit is still kind of a setup for when they pull the rug from under us and go, nope. And then you pick the character, you know, Carol, Michonne.
Somebody.
Like, I think everybody except probably Rick and... In my mind, I feel like Rick, Michonne, and Carl are safe.
Yeah.
Not safe from getting fucked up, but safe from dying. But I don't know, because right. It's not like the comic.
Correct.
They could easily just be like, we're killing Michonne, fuck it. Anyway, it's almost feels like they believe the show won't survive with the main people. Is that, I guess he meant without the main people. Is there a character too big to kill off? Probably Rick, Andrew Lincoln, that's it. You know, and I think you could do it and keep it going, but I just think that would be hella controversial.
Mm-hmm. And you would need to get somebody that's fucking just as appealing as he is.
Yeah, and people are weird too, because I think a lot of people think they want all these people to die, and then when they do it, they're like, well, they had to kill them. Like, how many black people right now want Morgan to die, and then when he dies, y'all gonna be writing up here talking about ain't enough black representation on TV and shit, so.
You won't get that from me.
Yeah, I be sticking to it. I remember how y'all turned on me with Tyrese. I remember that day. I was live tweeting. I was putting out gifts and shit.
Y'all was mad about him.
Making jokes, and then people talking about why they had to kill him. I said, nigga, you've been complaining about him for 3 weeks.
Oh, I understood why. It don't mean I'm happy. You know, people die, and I understand why.
I'm talking about people who are like, fuck Tyrese. I don't like him. He put the group at risk.
Oh, okay.
He didn't kill that person. People were saying that shit. I don't, you know, I hope he died. And then they killed him, and they went, but Black Lives Matter. I was like, get the fuck out of here. You can't have it both ways, guys. True. You're hypocrites. Anyway, love the show. Can't wait for it to return. Same here. All right, last thing, y'all do some sword ratchetness, and then we're gonna go watch Arrow. Mm-hmm. and see that Iris is probably not in it again. All right.
But then she wouldn't be in this show.
She,
unless she crossing over.
It was a crossover. It's a crossover episode. It's part 2.
You know what?
Yeah. I mean, she won't be in it.
I was about to say, I hope she is, but
she probably won't be in it. I mean, she is black. Anyway.
In Central City.
Coming straight out of Central, a motherfucking named Iris. Staten Island, New York. A dispute between two Eltingville neighbors turned violent Friday afternoon, landing one man in hospital and the other behind bars, police said. The incident occurred on Winchester Avenue at 3:50 p.m. after a man got into a dispute with his neighbor at about clearing the street in front of his home. After the verbal sparring escalated into a physical fight, Pocky pulled out an 8-inch knife and sliced his neighbor's left wrist.
Shit.
He then went back into the home and came out with a samurai sword that he raised over his head while shouting expletive-laced threats at the victim. The victim was taken to Staten Island University Hospital, Ocean Breeze, with a non-life-threatening laceration to his left wrist. Pocky, 22, has been faced with charged with felony assault. Menacing and criminal possession of a weapon. He's set to be arraigned Saturday in Stapleton Criminal Court. All that shit reminds me of the Wu-Tang, because that's where all those locations are from. All right, guys, we'll be back Saturday for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Premium shows will be up for the next couple of days. We got movie review, got Boss D Sports, and we got pregame will be out. A bunch of stuff for people that get their money's worth that way. Mm-hmm.
And shout out to the new people that signed up.
Exactly. And shout out to white women on Twitter that want people to live tweet but not tweet spoilers, but refuse to unfollow, mute the hashtag, or change browsers. You're the real MVP, white entitlement and white omit. All right, guys, we will talk to you guys Saturday. Until then, love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.